What's going on, y'all? Susie Ladio Hernandez here. Proverbs chapter 10 reaction video and podcast. Check it out anywhere. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. Without further ado, here we go.
The wise sayings of Solomon. An honest life is immortal. Wise son, glad father. Stupid son, sad mother.
Man, I love Proverbs. Proverbs is like to the point, man. It don't beat around the bush. It's just like, look, this is what it is. This is what I observed in life. And he's basically, throughout Proverbs, I've read it several times, he explains two ways, like right, wrong, wicked, righteous, blessed, not blessed. So he says, wise son, glad father, stupid son, sad mother. If you're wise, you're going to make your parents proud. if you're stupid in your decisions, your parents aren't going to be as proud.
Ill-gotten gain gets you nowhere. An honest life is immortal. God won't starve an honest soul.
Did you hear that? Ill-gotten gain gets you nowhere. An honest life is immortal. Ill-gotten gain, like I think about drug dealers, people that sell other people as sex slaves, that's ill-gotten gain. It's going to get them nowhere. Man, this is deep. Yet, an honest life, people that make an honest living, people that have integrity toward humanity, people that live the righteous lifestyle that God calls them to live, it's immortal. Like, it's immortal as opposed to ill-gotten gain. People that live unrighteous and make money illegally, you know, by selling drugs or even just being rude or mean, constantly being rude or mean to other people. Basically, anything that's not of God, like, that's outside of God, it's ill-gotten, like, it gets you nowhere. And Proverbs and these are the Proverbs of Solomon, and he's basically telling you, look, man, this is the wisdom. This is wisdom, true wisdom right here. This is what I've seen. This is what I've observed. This is what you can follow to live a righteous lifestyle through God in Jesus Christ.
But he frustrates the appetites of the wicked.
Oh, man. God won't starve an honest soul, but he frustrates the appetites of the wicked. So those two verses, two and three, he's not going to starve the honest soul, but he frustrates the appetites of the wicked. The honest soul, like, that's like your inner, the thing that God created that's like not seen in fleshly, but it's just a part of you. And if it's honest, it could be in a sense that I think it could be in a sense that it's like you're kind of like naive in a sense, because kind of, if you think about Proverbs, Solomon is talking to his son who's basically he hasn't been through life. You know, he's kind of naive in a sense. And God's not going to starve the honest soul, the person that's trying to live wise and they never walk through life, but they've got wisdom to know how to walk through life. They're still naive because they haven't been able to make their own choices, right? But when they hear this wisdom of God, they can make right choices, and that's an honest soul. That's somebody who's honestly wants to live the way God wants them to live. However, but, that's a key word all through this chapter. You hear the word and you hear the word but. And when you hear the word but, it's kind of like a contrast to the sentence before that. So the first sentence says, God won't starve an honest soul, but he frustrates the appetites of the wicked. So the wicked are those who choose not to follow this wisdom and choose to live ill-gotten, disrespectful, you know, don't discipline the children. You know, the people that are wicked in a sense, that they're ignoring the wisdom of God and continuing to live a fleshly life outside of the will of God. And he's going to frustrate their appetites. Like, he's going to frustrate them by the way they live. You know, because it's contrary to the word of God and to what God's word says.
Sloth makes you poor. Diligence brings wealth.
Oh, man. Here he comes. Like, this is like a key theme in several other chapters in this book. Sloth. Who knows what sloth is? Sloth is kind of like, what's one of the seven deadly sins, you know, if you're into like that type of stuff. But sloth is like being lazy, not going out willing to work, not willing to go out and make an honest living. So if you're slothful, it's going to make you poor. Look how simple this is. Like, basically, if you're not going to do nothing to make a living, if you're not going to earn money and you're slothful, you're going to become poor. It's simple. If you don't go out and work for a living and you decide just to stay home, you know, and live off your parents or whatever, if you're a child to your parents or whatever, if you choose to do that, you're going to become poor. You know what I mean? Because you're not making any money to be able to provide for yourself. And on the other hand, it says diligence brings wealth. It's simple. Two ways. You're either going to be lazy and become poor, or you're going to be diligent and become wealthy. You choose. It's basically like, look, choose. Either you do it like this and you're going to end up like this, or you do it like that and you're going to end up like that. And there's always two ways in Proverbs. It seems to me there's always two. It's either this, wicked but righteous. So sloth makes you poor, diligence brings wealth. So if you want to bring wealth, you got to be diligent, and also in a sense you got to be responsible with your money. And I don't think that, I'm not sure if that captures it here in this particular verse, but there's other verses that talk about looking to the ant and being harvesting during when the fruit is ripe, and then gathering in the summer. You know, those type of money principles could be involved in different scriptures, but this one is basically saying if you're lazy, you're going to become poor. If you're diligent, you have the opportunity to become wealthy.
Make hay while the sun shines. That's smart.
Look at that. Fishing
during harvest. That's stupid.
That's the exact. So what I was just saying, make hay while the sun shines. That's smart. Go fishing during the harvest, that's stupid. If you choose to go fishing, like, check this out. Okay, I think we know this. Here's a good example. We all know, and we've been there. We're like, oh, I don't feel like working today. Why do I have to work today? Oh, I got the day off or whatever. Yeah, you got the day off, but at the end of the week when you see your check and it's small, you're like, man, why'd I get a small check? Well, duh, you didn't go to work. You stay on the job, you make money. If you're on the job here, there, you're not going to make as much money. If you're not in the job at all, you're not going to make any money. Simple.
Blessings accrue on a good and honest life, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse.
And I don't think I'm going to get through this thing's going to be long, guys. I'm sorry. This thing is so packed with wisdom. There's so much. The blessings accrue on the good and honest life, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. I remember before I came to Christ, I would use a lot of cuss words, and I would want to just kind of live the dark lifestyle without even knowing it. Like, I just thought that was the way to live because it just seemed like pleasing to my human nature to want to do those things, you know, to want to listen to lyrics that were bad, or go and party, or go and sleep around and stuff like that. But if you have an honest life, blessings are going to accrue. They're going to come on you. You know, if you live the honest life that God calls you to live through wisdom in Jesus Christ, and learning how to live through Jesus Christ by reading his word and doing what it says, you're gonna have a blessed life. And it says, on the other hand, the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. And that's weird. That's interesting, because he talks about life in one sentence, and then the next sentence he talks about the mouth, like how the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Somebody that does not know any better, and he's into his mind, he's seen television shows that are not good for him, pornography, music, anything that is bad for his soul, the way God created it, you know, anything that is outside of God's will. It's going into that person's mind constantly, 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 and eventually it's going to come out through your mouth and through your actions. And in this case, it's talking about the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. So they have a wickedness inside of them that they allow into them, you know, without knowledge of God, or with knowledge of God and continuing to deny it. And they're abusive with their words, because eventually it's going to come out. The fruit that is within inside of you is going to come out, whether good or bad. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, we have this tongue to be able to spread good or bad. And in this case, it's saying that the mouth of the wicked is dark, is a dark cave of abuse. So it's like, why even listen to the wicked? Because you know they're just going to be having abusive words towards you, towards others. You know, don't be around them.
A good and honest life is a blessed memorial. A wicked life leaves a rotten stench.
Think long term. Think long term. A good and honest life is a blessed memorial. A memorial is like, say you have a memorial in your town. It's of a person, it could be an explorer or anybody, but a memorial is there to represent their life and who they were. And it says when you have a good and honest life, you have a blessed memorial. People go and see your gravesite. They don't just see your gravesite. They see the lifestyle that you lived. And they remember, like, man, that guy was blessed. I remember one time he was this way toward me. I remember one time he was always reading the word of God. I remember one time he was always giving to the poor. You see what I'm saying? It's a blessed memorial. On the other hand, a wicked life leaves a rotten stench. A rotten stench. Imagine like a possum or a skunk. Have you ever smelt a skunk smell? That's like rotten. Ugh. I ran over one time in my truck. I pulled up to the station where I was supposed to unload, and the guy's like, "Man, did you run over a skunk?" And I thought, "Yeah, I think I did on the way over here." That stench was still stuck on my truck, so it's like that reminds me of that. But a wicked life leaves a rotten stench. So when we live this lifestyle that God calls us to live, we're not thinking short term. We're not short term minded. We're long term minded. For the long haul, even after our death, you know, with the eternal life with God. When you live an honest life, when you live a good life that God has called you to live, and this is by your actions, what you do, by believing in faith and doing what it says, you're leaving a memorial. You're thinking long term. You're not thinking short term. This is a long term lifestyle. It's not short term.
A wise heart takes orders. An empty head will come unglued.
I'm sorry, guys. Every verse, man. A wise heart takes orders. An empty head will come unglued. That's simple. If you're wise, you listen to instruction. You listen to your boss. You know, you listen to people that already have experience. You listen to them because you want to become wise in your craft. If you're a pipe fitter, or if you're a truck driver, if you're in computer science and a programmer, if you're in cosmetology, if you're in nursing, if you're in any field, if you're a salesman, you become better at your skill by learning from those that have been there. That's what it says here. A wise heart takes orders. Like they receive instruction from those who have skills. An empty head will come unglued. Somebody who doesn't have anything up there, who's not seeking wisdom, not seeking wise counsel, their skill is not going to be that great, because they're not willing to learn from people that have done it in the past.
Honesty lives confident and carefree, but shifty is sure to be exposed. Mm. An evasive eye is a sign of trouble ahead, but an open, face-to-face meeting results in peace.
Oh. Okay, the mouth of a good person says, an evasive eye is a sign of trouble, but an open face-to-face meeting results in peace. When you talk to somebody, when you have the opportunity to talk to somebody face-to-face, and somebody's willing to talk to you face-to-face, there's going to be peace in that result, because both of you are willing to communicate with one another. Now, if a person has an evasive eye, if they're not trying to listen, if they're just avoiding you because they you know, and they're purposefully avoiding you because they know either they hate you or whatever, and they don't want to come to a resolve, it's a sign of trouble. And it's kind of like, forgive them, pray for them. It just kind of teaching you how to live in society. It could be in the workplace. Like, imagine if you're a boss and you have trouble with an employee. The best type of result is to communicate with them. Talk to them face to face. Hey, man, what's going on? What's the problem? That's the best way to, I mean, you know, you come at it with grace and gentleness and stuff too at the same time. And if the person is trying to evade, they're trying to get away from the situation and trying to avoid it, that's a bad thing. It says it right here. An evasive eye is a sign of trouble ahead, but an open face-to-face meeting results in peace.
The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse.
I love Proverbs, man. When I first came to the Lord, my mouth was very, very dirty. I was a lot of profanity. I used a lot of profanity. And I was starting to understand that I needed to change my speech. And I came across Proverbs. And I would go through Proverbs in circle every time it said mouth or tongue or speech or anything that had to do with the mouth. And for wisdom and how to speak. So right here, here's a proverb. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well. Life-giving. Like, somebody that knows God, has a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, and acts upon and obeys what God commands. When they share wisdom with you, it's a life-giving well. It's like... You're okay, so every day you're around people that are always talking negative. They're always speaking negative, spreading gossip. And here you come along, this wise person, and you shoot out some words of wisdom. They're going to be like, first, they're going to be kind of stunned because they're not used to that. You know what I'm saying? The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well. A well is something that where you pull water from, you know, you pull water like life, you know. But the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. That was me. I mean, we've been there. The mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Oh, they spread slander. They spread gossip. We used to spread gossip. We used to spread slander. We used to talk about other people. We used to say bad words. We used to talk behind people's back. That's wicked talk. That's a dark cave of abuse.
Hatred starts fights. But love pulls a quilt over the bickering.
All right, so I think it's from verse 10 through verse 13, verse 13. Hatred stirs up strifes, stirs up fights, but love pulls a quilt over bickering. Okay, imagine you're in the workplace or you're anywhere. Hatred starts fights, but love pulls a quilt over the bickering. When I'm at work, I know that people are malicious or they talk about other people, and I know they're a certain way. God teaches us to love them and to forgive them for who they are, so that we can continue to have a peaceful society. If I go on hating that person that hates me, it's gonna start a fight. I'm going to get fired from my job. I'm going to get kicked out of that society. Whatever. But love pulls the quilt over the bickering. So if you understand who you are in Christ and that he calls us to forgive others for who they are and you know, accept them as humans, you know, whether they're saved or not saved, we can have a peaceful society because we're able to kind of put a cover over that and be like, okay, I know that you're this way, I know that you're that way, but for the sake of having peace and for the sake of love and forgiveness, I'm gonna be at peace with you. You know, you do your job, I do my job, we go home, we're gonna have a good day. That's it. If I go tell the boss, hey boss, this person's like this or this person's like that, you're starting fights, you're starting strife. The wise person understands that it takes love, it takes forgiveness to be able to, I want to say, like, forget about their trespasses. Like, forget about what they've done. Just kind of know that they're sinners like you and just kind of overlook it so that you can continue to live in society with other people.
You'll find wisdom on the lips of a person of insight, but the short-sighted needs a slap in the face.
The short-sighted needs a slap in the face. So like I was saying earlier, like this lifestyle, it's you're thinking long-term. Like for real, you're thinking long-term. You're not thinking right now, right away. You're thinking, okay, I'm looking past this. I'm looking past the negative look that person gave me. I'm looking past the negative things that person said to me. I'm looking past that. I'm above that. I'm looking long-term. That person is that way. I need to get over it and continue to live my life the way God has called me to live. A love covers, you know, what does it say? Puts a quilt over bickering. You'll find wisdom on the lips of a person of insight, but the short-sighted needs a slap in the face. Like, dude, wake up. Wake up. I mean, it's just wake up. There's more to life than this. Just wake up. Like you want to just like snap out of it. Like, ah, snap out of it. You know what I mean? Snap out of it. It's not, there's more than just right here, right now. We got to look forward. We got to look past all this stuff. We got to look to eternity. We got to know that eternity awaits us after this life. You know, be wise on this earth. Leave a memorial so that people can look to you like, oh man, this is, I want to be like this person because this is how they lived. They live a godly lifestyle. You know, they're gone, but they left their memory, you know, a memorial instead of a rotting stench. Snap out of it. Move forward. Get past that, whatever that person did to you. And no, it's not easy. It's difficult, but you know, this is it.
The wise accumulate knowledge, a true treasure. Know-it-alls talk too much, a sheer waste.
Simple, man. The wise accumulate knowledge, a true treasure. Know-it-alls talk too much, a sheer waste. If you're always talking, if you think you're all bad, if you think you know everything, it's a sheer waste because you're refusing to listen to those who do know what they're talking about. Shut your mouth. Snap out of it. Listen to the wise. Listen to people that have been there, done that, got all the t-shirts, made mistakes. Listen to the ones that have wisdom, true godly wisdom.
The road to life is a disciplined life. The wealth of the rich is their bastion. The poverty of the indigent is their ruin. The wage of a good person is exuberant life. An evil person ends up with nothing but sin.
This whole, guys, it ain't gonna stop. It's not gonna stop in the book of Proverbs. It's not. It's like this through the whole thing. If you want a good dose, a good ounce of truth, here it is. If you want to be exposed for the fraud that you are, just like I've been exposed for the fraud that I was, I read this and it was exposing all these areas of my life. I was like, oh man, it's just so much. I was like, man, God, is it ever going to stop? Am I ever going to be righteous? Am I ever going to be all the way there? And he's reminding me that through Jesus Christ, no, you're not. Because you're human on this earth. My grace is sufficient every day. That's what he tells Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's, I mean, if we didn't have God's grace, God's wrath would be upon us. Oh man. That's when you really fear the Lord. Like, man, Lord actually exists and he could actually do this to me. But we have grace through Jesus Christ to be able to live. The wealth of the rich is their bastion. A bastion is like a fortress, you know, a stronghold, a city, a house that has a fence, you know, you're safe. But the poverty of the indigent is their ruin. The wage of a good person is exuberant life. An evil person ends up with nothing but sin. So think about it. If you're wealthy, you know, say you don't make payment, you don't have payments, you know what I mean? You got a stack of money in the bank, you own your house, you know, you got money. If something happens to you, at least you're physically, you know what I mean, to your house or whatever, you have money to be able to provide for that and fix it or whatever the case may be. But if you're in poverty, if you're lazy, if you're slothful and you live in poverty, it's gonna ruin you because it says the poverty of the indigent is their ruin. So if you're living in poverty and you choose to live that, like if you choose to be slothful, I mean, think about it, guys. It's our choice. If we choose to be responsible with our money, if we choose to work for our money, it's on us. It's us. It's just saying here, look, the wealthy, they have a bastion to poverty. They're going to come to ruin. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. I could be wrong on this. If I'm wrong, leave a message or a comment. I'm more open to correction.
The road to life is a disciplined life. Ignore correction and you're lost for good. Liars secretly hoard hatred. Fools openly spread slander. The more talk, the less truth. The wise measure their words. The speech of a good person is worth waiting for. The blabber of the wicked is worthless. The talk of a good person is rich fare for many, but chatterboxes die of an empty heart.
How long are we going to live this way? How long? What is it going to take? What is it going to take? I mean, for some people, they just get it. Some people want to get it. I mean, I don't know. Can you answer that question? Like, why? How come some people get it and some people don't? How come some people want to read the Bible and some people don't? If you can answer that question, let me know. I mean, I just, when I read this, it's just like, it's so clear cut. It's so just like, look here. Here's the way of life. Here it is. All you got to do is open this. All you got to do is open your Bible. All you got to do is open it and start reading. You know what I'm saying? If you got questions, ask your pastor. You know, look on, Google it online. Figure it out. I mean, study the word. Like, study it and read it and open it up and you'll know how to live. It just makes me sad because I feel like people are just walking around with blinders on their eyes, like, oh, maybe I'll do it like this, or maybe. And all these maybes turn into, like, false. You know, you end up heartbroken because we didn't open the Word of God and read what He has to say to us. We didn't study it. We didn't ask pastors. We didn't Google it, or we didn't figure it out. That's why we're living. That's why everything. That's why. That's why the way it's going, the way it's going. You know, we take, in America, we take God out of schools. We take God out of prayer. We take God out of America, out of the justice system. We take His wisdom that teaches us how to judge justly, how to live lifestyle. We take this wisdom out. It's going to be the opposite of wisdom. What's the opposite of wisdom? Folly. The opposite of righteousness is wickedness. We see it. I mean, the LGBT community, you know, in some states are teaching young kids, leading them in the wrong path, in the wrong direction. What's going to happen to those that lead children astray? What does the word say? What does Jesus say? Anyone who leads these little ones astray, what's going to happen to them? A millstone placed. It's like they have a millstone placed around their neck. The millstone is a heavy rock that's tied to a rope, and that rope's tied to your neck. And they throw the rope in they throw the rock in the ocean, and you go with the rock, and you're stuck down there in the ocean with the rock. You're going to drown and die. That's what Jesus says. If you lead these little ones astray, it's like you're putting a millstone around your neck, and you're throwing the rock into the ocean. And the rock is heavy. It's going to weigh you down. It's like an anchor. It's going to anchor you down into the sea. You're going to drown. That's what Jesus says if you lead them astray.
Fear of God expands your life. God's blessing makes life rich. Nothing we do can improve on God.
Oh, God. We can't add on to God what God had. What we can't add on to what God does. We can't do it. We can try to do it on our own. Like, we can try to be like, oh, God bless me with this, but I'm gonna take the effort to bless myself even more without God, or even with God. I mean, I don't know, but it's just like God's blessing makes life rich. What more do you need? But God's blessing. Nothing can improve on his blessing. You can't improve his blessing. You can't outdo God. You can't be God. You can't outdo him. He's the man. He's like, I'm done. I done did it. I'm the Alpha, the Omega.
An empty head thinks mischief is fun, but a mindful person relishes wisdom.
We're almost done, guys. I'm sorry. It's 30 minutes. We're almost there. Let's see if we can get to 45 and stop. An empty head thinks mischief is fun, but a mindful person relishes wisdom. If you ain't got nothing upstairs, you're going to think being bad is fun. But a mindful person, somebody that's got something upstairs, relishes wisdom. They want wisdom instead of mischief. I remember when I was a teenager maybe or something like that. I would always want to be around the older people. Because for some reason I felt like the people my age, they didn't have any advice. Because think about it, they're my age. What do they know? You know what I mean? Some could have more knowledge than I, like say like a guitarist that I would play with. He knew a little bit more than me. I would get some wisdom for him. But for the most part, I found myself wanting to be around older people because they had stories. They had like wisdom. They could show you, look, this is how I did it. I did it like this. And this is how I came out. And you can see how they came out. They're old. They're wise. And that's what we need to do. We need to be around spiritually wise adults, spiritually wise, you know, adults. It could be a young person that's very spiritual and very wise, you know, like Timothy. He was a young man. He was a preacher that Paul wrote to him and said, look, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. You know, God has called you. He's placed his hand upon you. You have the anointing. You know, you have what God has given you.
The nightmares of the wicked come true. What the good people desire, they get.
The nightmares of the wicked. How many drug dealers? How many people that sell sex? How many of them went to jail? How many of them got caught? Is that a nightmare from them? Did they ever think, nah, I never get caught? Nah. They end up getting caught, or they end up getting killed. You know what I mean? Say they're always looking behind their back like... I mean, I've never sold drugs or anything like that. I've just heard stories and stuff like that. But the nightmares of the wicked come true. You're going to get caught. It's going to happen. You know, whether it's, you know, say you're stealing from your job. Say you're stealing from your work. It doesn't have to be as bad as selling drugs. But, like, it could be, I mean, you know, selling drugs and stealing at work, there's still sin no matter what. Either way, it's wickedness. And the dreams of the wicked, they're going to come true. You're going to get caught. Something's going to happen. You're going to get fired. Whatever. What a good people desire, they get. Now, I think in Ecclesiastes, which Ecclesiastes pretty much says, look, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know what I mean? Bad could still come on good people. You know, there could be a hurricane or whatever, a natural disaster. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. This is kind of like generally speaking here.
Storm is over. There's nothing left of the wicked. Good people, firm on their rock foundation, aren't even fazed.
You see that? Look, when the storm is over, there is nothing left of the wicked. They're gone. There's nothing left of it when the storm is over. Good people, firm on their rock foundation, aren't even fazed. Not even fazed. Storm comes by, the wicked are obliterated. Obliterated. The wicked, the righteous, firm, not moved. You ever heard of the story of the three pigs? The pig that had the brick house? That's the righteous. That's the righteous. The wicked is the one with the straw house or the stick house. Obliterated.
A lazy employee will give you nothing but trouble. It's vinegar in the mouth, smoke in the eyes.
You business guys, business leaders, if you want to learn how to leader your people, you need to read the book of Proverbs for real. Like, it teaches you about two types of people, righteous and the wicked. It teaches you how to guide them. A lazy employee will give you nothing but trouble. It's vinegar in the mouth and smoke in the eyes. You ever been to a campfire? We used to have campfires at the beach. We used to light the fire, stoke the fire, or whatever. Smoke would get in your eyes. You'd be like, ah. Or even like vinegar. Vinegar. Have you ever drank vinegar? It's kind of like drinking like pickle juice or something, you know? Some people are like, I like pickle juice. No, but a lazy employee. Think about it. Like a lazy employee. If you tell an employee, hey, I need you to paint this wall over here, or I need you to do this door, or I need you to button up these screws over here, or I need you to fix this bug in this program. 8 hours, you come back and they still haven't done nothing. You're pissed. You're like, what have you been doing this whole time? I gave you this easy task and you couldn't finish it. What's the problem? No, it's like smoke in the eyes and vinegar's in the mouth. It's simple, guys. This is basically just an observation from Solomon. It's not telling you to do this or do that. It's saying, look, the lazy is like this. This is what you're going to observe.
The fear of God expands your life. A wicked life is a puny life. The aspirations of good people end in celebration.
Oh, wow.
The ambitions of bad people crash. God is solid backing.
Oh, man. The aspirations of good people end in celebration. The ambitions of bad people crash. That makes me think about the real estate crash. You know, all these execs or whatever, these bad people that made these mortgages and subprime mortgages and whatever. And it ended up crashing because they were bad. They had bad this ambitions of bad people crash. That made me think of that. You know, if you guys have any examples or whatever, you can share them.
To a well-lived life, but he calls into question a shabby performance.
God is solid backing to a well-lived life, but he calls into question a shabby performance. Do your work. Do a good job. When you're wise and you listen to wise, say it's godly wisdom or even wisdom on how to do something, do a skill, write a program, install a door, paint a house, cut somebody's hair, whatever the skill is, if God has solid backing for a well-lived life, but he calls to question a shabby performance. This could be more than that. It could be just your long-term lifestyle that I was talking about. You know, God calls it into question.
Performance. Good people last. Can't be moved. The wicked are here today, gone tomorrow.
Man, if you're trying to hire good people, why wouldn't we hire people that know the word? Not just quote Christians, because anybody could say they're a Christian and not have this wisdom. Filter it. You know them by their fruit. If you let them talk long enough, you know who they are on the inside, because out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Somebody knows the word, speaks the word, and lives it. You know, it's kind of hard as an employer to hire somebody just off of like one or two interviews, because you really don't see who that person is. That's why I like the hiring process that Dave Ramsey has. They go through, they take the employee, the potential employee and their wife, they take them out to a dinner. You know, they leave them in a hotel. They take them out so they can know who that person is, because eventually you can find out who they are by being around them for a few days, 10 days or whatever. You know,
a good person's mouth is a clear fountain of wisdom. A foul mouth is a stagnant swamp.
There it goes again, talking about the mouth. Like, and this is all in Proverbs, the mouth, the tongue, the speech. If we want to know really the type of person that we are on their inside, you know, and who we could potentially become, listen to what you're saying all throughout the day. Like, test yourself. Like, what am I saying? What am I using my mouth for? Am I using it to build people up? Am I using it to tear people down? Am I using it to spread gossip? Am I using it to talk about good things, things that are honorable, things that are noble? Am I using it to praise God? Examine yourself.
The speech of a good person clears the air. The words of the wicked pollute it.
Man, speech of a good person clears the air. The words of the wicked pollute it. Guys, I appreciate y'all so much listening to this. If you listened to it this far, we're coming up on 40 minutes. I never thought I'd do a video this long for my podcast. But, man, guys, I appreciate it. If you have any questions or comments, or you can add anything or tell me, hey, I think you're wrong on this, please be respectful if you leave a comment or a question or or any advice. All I ask is just be respectful to those around you. You know, if you're not respectful, I'll do whatever's in my power to erase your comment, because I know that you're trying to be disrespectful. But all comments are welcome if you're respectful towards me, towards yourself, and towards others. But thanks a lot for watching. Check out the Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, YouTube. I'm on Facebook and Instagram thus far. I'm a little bit on Twitter, but I'm kind of narrowing down my social media profiles because it's a lot to handle at once. So thanks a lot, you guys, for watching. Stay tuned for the next video, next podcast. Have a good day. Bye.